This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Chaos in the streets of Philadelphia. People running for their lives as shots are fired into a crowd enjoying a night out. Two victims killed, 11 wounded. The police are calling it a dark day for the city. What authorities say may have sparked the violence. And more than a dozen shot in Chattanooga, with three dead on a weekend that saw more than a dozen mass shootings. We're live in Philadelphia and on Capitol Hill on the congressional push for gun reform. Also tonight, the record pain at the pump. Drivers pay nearly $10 a gallon at one California station. Nine states in Washington, D.C. now average more than $5. Our new ABC News poll shows gas prices could be one of the most important issues in the midterm elections. What the Biden administration says is behind the skyrocketing prices. Tonight, bracing for severe storms in the plains with large hail and potentially damaging winds from Oklahoma to Nebraska, and the first named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season. Rob Marciano standing by. Vladimir Putin threatens new targets in Ukraine. The Russian president's ominous warning to the West on what will happen if it keeps arming the Ukrainians. Russian rockets slamming Kyiv. Our team on the scene of the attack. A judge's murder and the man accused. What we've just learned about their possible connection, and new reaction tonight from one of the politicians on the suspect's alleged hit list. Developing overseas, a deadly attack on a Catholic church in Nigeria. More than 50 people fear dead after gunmen storm a church during mass. The Queen's surprise appearance, thunderous applause as she greets the crowd from Buckingham Palace. We're in London for the grand finale of her Platinum Jubilee. And America strong. When doctors gave her a devastating diagnosis, she set out to beat the odds.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. As we come on the air tonight, there is a desperate manhunt underway in Philadelphia, where one of the country's latest mass shootings erupted last night in a popular entertainment district. At least two bystanders were killed and 12 others injured when several active shooters opened fire. Among the dead, a second-grade resident advisor. Police say one suspect also died. Hundreds of people were in the street at the time. This surveillance video shows an otherwise typical Saturday night, which then you see there turns into mayhem as people start running for their lives. And in Tennessee, more violence. Three people were killed and 14 injured when gunfire rang out just outside a bar in Chattanooga. Police believe multiple shooters were involved there as well. In all, more than a dozen mass shootings nationwide this weekend alone, an epidemic that shows no signs of slowing. ABC's Janae Norman leads us off.
The urgent manhunt underway tonight in Philadelphia after police say multiple gunmen opened fire into a crowd, leaving at least two people dead and nearly a dozen others injured.
We got multiple victims.
According to authorities, just after 11:30 p.m., officers patrolling South Street, a busy area with bars and restaurants, heard gunshots. The panic and chaos captured by surveillance cameras as the large crowd flees the gunfire.
Officers on location began to render first aid to the wounded.
Authorities reviewing this video, which appears to show a fight before the shooting erupted. One of the men died. Police say an officer then witnessed a man firing into a crowd and that the officer fired back.
We believe striking him. The unknown male dropped his handgun on the sidewalk and ran southbound.
Authorities recovering at least two guns from the scene, one with an extended magazine. Ballistics evidence revealing at least five different weapons were involved. In all, two bystanders were killed, 11 others injured. John Johnson telling ABC station WPVI he was shot in the foot.
My back was turned and started shooting at everybody. I see two people, you know, die right in front of my face. So,
according to the Gun Violence Archive, there have been more than a dozen mass shootings this weekend alone. In Phoenix Saturday, eight people were shot and a 14-year-old girl killed after authorities say an altercation in a strip mall escalated into a deadly shooting. And overnight in Chattanooga, Tennessee, 14 people were shot there and three more killed after authorities say multiple shooters opened fire at a nightclub.
Multiple shots fired. Multiple vehicles fleeing the scene.
This is the second mass shooting in that city in the last week.
I'm tired of standing in front of you talking about guns and bodies. Chattanooga will not tolerate this in our community. Our city will put a stop to this.
A national conversation we keep having. And Janae, one of the people killed in Philadelphia last night, an advisor to second graders at a local boarding school. And we saw that statement from the state's Teachers Association saying petty disagreements turn deadly even for innocent bystanders. It doesn't have to be this way.
And Lindsay, that is a sentiment felt around the country. The numbers are staggering, and it's easy to get caught up on those numbers, the numbers of victims shot, of people killed, but each of those represents a family. So many Americans impacted by gun violence here in Philly, and that shooting that the mayor called beyond devastating. That second grade advisor, just 22. The CDC now lists firearms as the leading cause of death for Americans under the age of 24. Lindsay.
Janae, thank you. This epidemic of gun violence across the country is now front and center as gun reform is top of mind as Congress returns from a 10-day break. Today, Senator Chris Murphy described the negotiations as closer than they've ever been before.
I've never been part of negotiations as serious as these. There are more Republicans at the table talking about changing our gun laws.
Let's bring in ABC's White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks. Mary Alice, really positive signs today from one of the lead negotiators. Give us a reality check as far as how close they are to a deal.
Lindsay, Senator Murphy said they were still having discussions as late as last night. That could be a good sign. But if these senators reach a deal, it will likely be fairly modest. They are mostly looking at things like incentives for states to put in place red flag laws, ways to strengthen background checks, and funding for mental health and possibly school security, too. And they're still getting a lot of pressure to consider raising the minimum age for purchasing an assault weapon. We know that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer wants an answer this week about whether they have actually reached a deal. Lindsay?
So many eager to know. Mary Alice, thank you. And we turn now to the record-breaking gas prices across the country. Nine states in Washington, D.C. now average more than $5 a gallon. And at one station in California, gas is selling for nearly $10 a gallon. Here's ABC's Will Carr.
Tonight, unprecedented pain at the pump.
$9.
Over $9 a gallon?
Over $9.
In Mendocino, California, gas at this station among the most expensive in the country, soaring to nearly $10 a gallon.
This is just the only gas station in town. Maybe I should go somewhere else.
Los Angeles County, the most populous in the country, now averaging more than $6.30 a gallon. Some stations hovering around $8. This Arizona pizzeria raising delivery fees to offset the cost of gas.
The problem for us is we don't know where it's going to stop.
Drivers nationwide filling up their tanks and emptying their wallets. Nine states in Washington, D.C. now averaging more than $5 a gallon. The national average soaring to a record $4.84, according to AAA. In a new ABC News poll, three-quarters of Americans say gas prices are an extremely or very important factor in how they'll vote in the midterms. The Biden administration deflecting blame.
You hear these oil executives on the record talking about how they're not going to increase production. Why would they? They're doing great right now.
Putin's war is driving the price of food and gas up. We can't deny that. We know Americans are struggling. And demand changes.
Gas experts, though, say the reality is more complicated.
While the Russia war on Ukraine has pushed prices up, the other factor here is refining capacity, turning that oil into something more meaningful like gasoline.
Lindsay, think about this. Americans have spent $94 million more today on gas than they did 1 week ago. And here in California, the governor's proposed giving cash rebates out to people to help out, but it's unclear when or if that's going to happen. Lindsay.
People just looking for relief. Will, thank you. We turn now to the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the new threats from Vladimir Putin to expand his list of targets if the U.S. and its allies send Ukraine longer-range weapons. Our team was on the ground in Kyiv after Russian missiles struck a railway repair plant, shattering weeks of relative calm. These images posted on social media show what Ukrainian officials say is the moment of that attack. ABC's Britt Klenit is in Ukraine for us tonight.
Tonight, massive explosions rocking Kyiv.
a barrage of Russian missiles shattering 5 weeks of relative calm in the capital. This video posted on social media. Ukraine's state energy agency releasing this video, claiming it shows a Russian missile flying dangerously close to a nuclear plant heading towards Kyiv. Russia claiming it destroyed tanks. Ukraine denying there were any military vehicles stored at the site, a railway repair plant in Kyiv's east. After several hours of cordoning off the area, Ukrainian authorities allowing reporters to tour the damage. Smoke still rising from parts of the charred roof as we arrived.
Firefighters on the scene where Russian cruise missiles slammed into this building. It is still on fire as a result of the attack.
Fears this won't be the last Russian attack on the capital, with the US set to deliver sophisticated longer-range rocket systems to Ukraine. Vladimir Putin today issuing an ominous threat. Warning the West that Russia would strike new targets if it delivers those weapons.
Lindsay, that facility today reduced to rubble, a shocking sight that swiftly ends the sense of calm here in the capital. Lindsay.
Brit, unnerving to be sure. Thank you. Tonight, January 6th committee vice chair Representative Liz Cheney, one of only two Republicans on the panel, is making a direct appeal to the American people to watch Thursday's primetime hearings. Cheney says the insurrection was a conspiracy, which remains an ongoing threat. David Muir and the ABC News political team will have live coverage of those hearings on Thursday night. Next tonight, new developments in the murder investigation of a retired Wisconsin judge in his home on Friday. ABC News has learned of court records that show the suspect's link to the victim. Here's ABC's Phil Lipoff.
Tonight, a clear connection between the retired Wisconsin judge shot and killed in his home and the man suspected of pulling the trigger. That man, police say, is 56-year-old Douglas Udy. In a search of Wisconsin court records, ABC News found in 2005, Udy pleaded no contest to armed burglary. Judge John Romer sentenced him to 6 years in state prison.
It's his neighbor's son from across the street is banging on the door saying that someone murdered his father.
Friday morning around 6:30, police rushing to the judge's home. Law enforcement briefed on the case tell ABC News Judge Romer was found zip-tied to a chair and fatally shot. Udy found in the basement with a self-inflicted gunshot wound, alive, now in custody at the hospital. Those same sources saying a hit list was found in a car at the scene. The judge's name on that list, along with Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, and Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers.
A judge from a rural county is targeted and murdered. It's abhorrent to our judiciary and to a leadership in our state and our country. So yeah, it's a horrible situation.
In 2020, a disgruntled lawyer posing as a delivery man went to federal judge Esther Salas's New Jersey home, shot her husband, and killed her son. Since then, she has been pushing Congress to pass legislation protecting judges' privacy.
How many more lives have to be lost to senseless tragedies? Judges need protection, and they need it now. And all we're asking is our members of Congress listen and really do what's ready to, this bill is ready to go.
Now, there is bipartisan support for the bill Judge Salas is talking about, but it was blocked by Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. He felt, he said, that members of Congress should be included in the protections. Judge Salas says she agrees, but she would like to see this bill passed now to protect judges as quickly as possible. Lindsay.
Phil, thank you. And we turn now to Uvalde, Texas, where there are calls for action in the wake of the massacre at Robb Elementary. More than 250 self-declared gun enthusiasts and political donors signed a letter urging Congress to act on gun control. Victims' family members and a survivor of the shooting are set to testify this week. And today, 10-year-old Alethea Ramirez was laid to rest. She loved to draw and wanted to be an artist. She also loves soccer. Tonight, U.S. defense officials are condemning the latest provocation by North Korea. 8 short-range ballistic missiles were fired overnight from several locations, the 18th test this year alone. U.S. and South Korean officials warn that the North may be preparing a nuclear test in the near future. To London now, where the Jubilee party is ending on a brilliant note with a surprise appearance by Great Britain's beloved monarch. Tonight, Queen Elizabeth appeared with other royals on the balcony of Buckingham Palace, delighting the crowds below and television viewers around the world. Here's ABC's Lama Hassan, who watched it all.
Tonight, the Queen, glorious in green, flanked by her three heirs, stepping out on that famous Buckingham Palace balcony to deafening cheers. It was a moment full of emotion, Her Majesty thanking her loyal subjects and closing the historic Platinum Jubilee celebrations, the national anthem. Followed by a rendition of none other than Dancing Queen. Grand finale to celebrate her remarkable 70-year reign. A pageant, including a solid gold stage coach with a hologram of the Queen waving to well-wishers, just as she did on her coronation day in 1953. Prince Louis pulling a few faces before moving to sit on his grandfather's lap.
There's one thing that the British do the best, pomp and pageantry.
We've got the best queen in the world, haven't we? Best country in the world.
More than 10,000 people parading down the Mall. Colourful costumes, double-decker buses carrying sports legends, actors and actresses, giant puppets and Ed Sheeran belting out his song, Perfect.
Dancing in the dark with you between my arms.
Today, Brits celebrating Her Majesty across the United Kingdom with massive street parties. An estimated 12 million attending big Jubilee lunch gatherings, including Prince Charles and Camilla toasting his mother. And Duchess Kate sharing these images of Prince George, Princess Charlotte and Prince Louis making cupcakes for partygoers in Wales. Notably absent from most of the Jubilee celebrations, the Queen, after experiencing discomfort on the first day. So it's no surprise that perhaps the crowning glory of this four-day extravaganza is seeing a beaming Queen, giving us a chance to say thank you, ma'am. Lindsay, seeing the Queen on that balcony behind me was the perfect way to end the celebrations. Releasing a thank you message, Her Majesty said that while she wasn't able to attend all the events in person, her heart belonged to the people, adding that she is committed to serving them to the best of her ability, supported by her family. Lindsay.
Thrilling for so many, Lama. Thank you. And there's still much more ahead on World News tonight this Sunday. The horrific scene, dozens killed as gunmen attack a Catholic church overseas. Florida cleans up after getting a foot of rain while millions in the heartland brace for severe storms. Rob Marciano standing by.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible, because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, millions in the nation's heartland are on alert for severe storms, and the water is receding in South Florida after more than a foot of rain fell in some areas. That system moved offshore and developed into Tropical Storm Alex early this morning. ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano is tracking it all for you. What are you keeping an eye on, Rob?
Well, a severe storm, several rounds of it, several days across the midsection of the country. We've got watch boxes that are up for a good chunk of Kansas, Nebraska, and eastern Colorado. Big hail with these tornadoes, not out of the question, and big-time rain. And I think we'll see some flooding across parts of southern Kansas. The soils are prime there. Watches are up for rounds of rain tonight, tomorrow, and again on the next day. Meanwhile, Tropical Storm Alex, you mentioned it, heading toward Bermuda. with winds of 65 miles an hour. Worst impacts there tomorrow. Lindsay?
Rob, thank you. To the index now. Tonight, we're learning more about a horrific attack in southwestern Nigeria. Gunmen burst into a Catholic church during mass, opening fire and detonating explosives. Officials fear more than 50 people may have been killed, many of them children. No group has claimed responsibility, but Nigeria has been facing increased violence from armed gangs. Next, a possible game changer in treating advanced breast cancer. Tonight, the New England Journal of Medicine reports a drug called Enhertu is effective even against tumors with very low levels of a protein that drives tumor growth. The drug was shown to dramatically reduce the risk of cancer progression or death. Thousands more patients could soon be eligible for this therapy. Overseas, tennis great Rafael Nadal continued his dominance at the French Open, beating Casper Ruud today in straight sets. For Nadal, that's 14 championships in Paris and 22 Grand Slam titles. Both are records. He also revealed he needed multiple injections in his badly injured left foot and may not be able to play at Wimbledon. On the women's side, Iga Świątek beat American Coco Gauff for the title yesterday. Finally tonight, despite a debilitating diagnosis, Andrea Peet refused to let the disease define her or slow her down, proving to us all what it means to be America strong. 6 years ago, Andrea Peet set out on a mission even she wasn't sure she could achieve. In 2014, she was diagnosed with ALS, commonly known as Lou Gehrig disease. She was 33 years old and given just 2 to 5 more years to live. But Andrea has repeatedly defied those odds. Determined to set a new record and raise awareness and money for ALS research, she challenged herself to become the first person with ALS to complete 50 marathons in 50 states. It all started at the Shamrock Marathon in Virginia Beach, using a recumbent trike to propel herself. Here she is with a medal after finishing a marathon in Texas. And this was Andrea last Saturday at the start of her 50th marathon in Alaska, wearing the white helmet. 8 years after her diagnosis, pedaling under her own power for 26.2 miles. 5 hours and 3 minutes later, she was met with cheers at the finish line. A team of supporters holding her 49 hard-earned medals, and her husband David giving Andrea her 50th and final award.
It's been a long time here. Yeah. So much more amazing than I ever thought it would be.
Love that spirit. I'll see you on GMA in the morning. David Muir back here tomorrow night. I'm Lindsay Davis in New York. Good night.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table.
What is happening here?
It's just beautiful chaos.
Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view.
To be honest, I was thinking about asking him for a foot massage, and then I just froze.
This is the best gig on TV.
And you know, anything can happen.
That is what we do here.
I'm not going to lie, the chair's a little small for my behind.
The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.